Praise the Lord. But I really do feel that that's the area that the Lord wants to do. What he wants to do this morning is to put our feet back on solid ground. Especially in these last times, there really isn't any time for playing around with just listening to your emotions. We need to be people that has faith in the Word of God and to stand on His Word and to bring healing into your life. That may be mental, that may be spiritual, that could be physically, that could be in a lot of areas. So I'm just thankful that He wants to put our feet on solid ground. Let's go to Luke 6, just real quickly. We're going to get on to the Beatitudes. This verse has just been going off, and I covered it some Wednesday. And it's in Luke 6 and 46. I want to read this real quickly in the King James Version. And it says, Jesus speaking here, "And why call you me Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoso cometh to me and heareth my sayings and thinks about them." No. Ponders on them. No. Memorizes them. No. Does them.
Yes.
"Hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house, and he digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So we see in verses 48 and 49 that all the streams and the rain and the storms beat on both houses, didn't they? But the one that stood firm was the one that digged deep and built the foundation on the solid rock. Friends, today I want us to get this deep this morning. This is not just, I believe what we're going to hear today is going to be the greatest message that you've ever heard. And you want to know what? Next week, whoever's up here, it's going to be the greatest message you've ever heard. If you've dug deep, and you want to lay the found, you want to build your house on the foundation, the solid rock. Amen. So I want to assure you that I don't want to depress you, but the storms of life are going to come. They're going to come. They're going to happen. But that doesn't mean that you have to fall apart. That doesn't mean that your house has to fall apart every time something happens. If you dig down and realize that my faith, what I believe and what I do, is not founded on me, but it is founded upon the solid rock, and his name is Jesus Christ. If I know that, it doesn't matter what may come my way, because the storms, you know, there's one thing that Roy Chisholm taught me. I say that a lot. He said this, that, and I never forget this. He said, "John, the way things are right now are not the way they will always be." Right. That means no matter what you may be going through at this very moment, it may be hard and it may be difficult, but the way it is right now is not the way it is always going to be, because you set your faith upon Jesus Christ and upon what his word says. And we're going to talk about that here today. So in Matthew chapter 5, in these Beatitudes, the attitudes that we should be, is that fair enough? Yeah. And I believe we're on verse number 5. And I never thought Matthew 5 and 5, I'll be in the King James most of the time, and I'll be in the New Living Translation as well, if you have a device. When I looked over this at the first of the week, I thought, well, this is a really short verse, and I think there's times we read over these things, but it's like anything else. When you begin to start studying and diving in, I did not realize that the meek inheriting the earth was a whole new world. that's out there when you start digging deep inside the Word of God. And people wonder why that we promote Bible reading and Bible studying is because there's a whole world there that you don't know if you just glance over it. So let's go ahead and read this, even though you know it. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Father, we thank you for your word. Most of all, we're thankful for the Holy Spirit that gives us the power and the ability to do anything that we need to do. And especially right now, Father, as we speak, God, we're anointed already. Your word is anointed already. But I pray for us that are here today, God, that the anointing would come over us and overtake us today, that we can not just feel, but God, that we could hear what you're saying. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. God, hear in this word today. And God, that we're going to receive it, because inside of this, God, is the strength to be everything that you want us to be and everything deep down that we want to be. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, when you see the word meek, for some reason there is, I won't say a temptation, but a thought of maybe that it means weakness. But meekness is not weakness. Let's look at some definitions here in the biblical context. It's not weakness, as I said. It's not spinelessness. Instead, the Greek word is praus. I believe I'm saying that right. And that's spelled P-R-A-U-S. And it indicates, I loved this. This was so good. It is strength under control. Strength under control and channeled into service for God. That's a key word there about being channeled into service for God. Meek people are humble, they are gentle, and show a genuine freedom from pride and arrogance. They submit their own will to God's will and patiently await God's timing. It doesn't shy away from extreme situations, and I feel like this is so good. It doesn't shy away from extreme situations, but brings them down to mild conditions. And they submit. People have a hard time understanding this, but because they feel as if God's will is going to be done no matter what. Have you ever heard that before? That God's will is going to be done no matter what. And there were times in my life that I felt the same way. But what I began to learn was this, that God's in control if I put him in control. He's not going to just take over and whatever happens. So when I say this, they submit their will, my will, to God's will. Yes. There's a submission there to where that's whenever God's will starts happening is when I submit my will to his will. And then I patiently await God's timing. Now that's patient is not a word that we enjoy. I don't enjoy it. I don't think anyone enjoys it. But we wait patiently because we don't want to get ahead of God. And the same mindset of, I don't want to pick the fruit before it's ripe and ready. Do you? That's why we await God's timing. I want to say this again. It doesn't shy away from extreme situations, but brings them down into mild conditions. Meekness is rooted in trust in God. When we put God in control of situations, we trust that he will guide us into his complete will. As we respond to each direction in detail, okay, that he gives us to do. So don't get meekness confused with weakness. It's bringing troubling or chaotic situations into mild conditions. It's having staying power and seeing the results happen. It's letting emotions rise and fall and refusing to give up. It is a quiet strength. It is a quiet strength. I want to talk about this not giving up, because there is this mindset me and Dylan had kind of batted this around Thursday, is people do get into this thought process of, if I accidentally say something wrong, I've got to start all over again. And it's understanding this, friends, you're not going to do it perfect, but we understand we're not digging down to build our house on our foundation. We're digging down to build our house on Christ, on the solid rock, on Jesus Christ. So understanding this, that when we fall or when we fail, or we might say something that's not in agreement with what we want, we don't have to like go all the way back to the start. We have to say, whoops, that's not what I want. That's not what I want to do. That's not who I want to be. And then we start again from there. This is called repentance. It's called turning around and going the other direction and not continuing trying to keep going the same direction that you were going. It's letting emotions rise and fall. Gosh. Because so many times, can anybody identify with this, or is it just me? That in the same day, you can have great faith and then doubt. All in the same day. It's kind of like laughing and crying. I've done those in the same day before, hadn't you? I've been happy and angry all in the same day. Sometimes you're going to feel doubt and you're going to feel great faith all in the same day. But just because I have that moment of doubt in my head does not mean that it's in my heart. Amen. We have to learn to remember that emotions are just that. That's all they are. They're going to rise and fall. They're going to come and go. But I have built my house on the solid rock. The emotions are the winds and the waves. They're the storms that might beat vehemently. Have you ever had thoughts of doubt and they're just so strong in your head? Me and Susan? Pastor Susan, I should say, all respect. No, we all feel those things, but our house is built on the solid rock. It's a quiet strength that realizes this: how I feel right now is not the way it's always going to be. How I feel right now is not the way it's always going to be. So meekness is not being weak. It's not being spinelessness. It's a quiet strength that brings those chaotic thoughts down into the calm. Down into the calm. It's a quiet strength. So let's go to this inherit the earth part. And then we're going to go on with some things that the Lord has laid upon my heart in the last couple of days. There's a lot of commentaries and opinions of what Jesus was actually referring to here, but this is where the Lord was leading me. When he uses, there's a couple of words here, obviously, inherit and the earth. The word inherit, actually means to come into possession of or receive, especially as a right or divine portion. And this is, like I said, this is an area that the Holy Spirit would not turn me loose about inheriting the earth. In Genesis 1 and 26, can we turn there? I know we know it, but sometimes it's good to lay your eyes on it. As you're turning there, keep in mind, meekness is a quiet strength. It's a quiet strength. It's bringing things that are chaotic and over-emotional down into the calm so that we can inherit the earth. And I know that a lot of you are probably wondering where I'm even going with this, but that's okay. We're going to get there and you'll see it. It says, and God said, who said? God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air. I wish they would have said deer, Rusty. That way I'd say, hey, y'all need to get on in here. I'm tired of waiting. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle. And I underline this, and over all the earth. Now, all means all, right? Would you say all means everything? If somebody deeded you over a property that had a house and all the dwellings and said, everything on this property and that's what's on the inside of the home is yours, that would mean even if you found, once it was signed and it was yours and it was in your possession, even if you found something, it's yours that they didn't realize was there. It's yours. You took possession of it. It's yours, all, everything. So God gave man dominion over all the earth. That word dominion means this: complete ownership. Now what I want to get to is this: everything that we see came from the earth. And I went and did some extensive research, and I looked up everything that I could possibly think of where it came from. This fabric and this carpet came from things in the earth. The pew that you're sitting on, the fabric and the cushion, obviously we know the wood came from the earth, but even the fibers in the seat came from things inside the earth. Dylan, I looked up electrical wires, where they came from. They come from things in the earth. I looked up rubber tires, where they come from. They come from things in the earth. I looked up porcelain toilets to see where porcelain came from. I don't know about you, but I appreciate those things sometimes, don't you? They came from things in the earth. The clothes you're wearing came from things in the earth. The glasses that we have came from things inside the earth. Everything. I looked up Freon and air conditioning. It came from things in the earth. I looked up where acid came from. It came from things inside of animals and things inside the earth. Everything that we look at, everything that we see came from something in the earth. Even if it had to go through a process, it went through a process from things that the earth that were added into that in order for there to be combustions and all kinds of things. Crude oils, plastics came from crude oils in the ground, heated up and then cooled off to form and mold images. Everything that we see comes from the earth. And if you have a need, get this, if you have a need in your life and the earth is yours through inheritance, wouldn't it be fair to say that if you have a need, there is an answer that is in the earth to your need that God can reveal to you? You see, this is where a quiet and a gentle strength comes from, is knowing how does that meekness inherit the earth? It is a strong, quiet strength that understands that if I have a need or I have a desire, the earth is mine because God gave it to me, and whatever my need may be, that there's an answer somewhere around me. But I have to bring the chaotic thoughts down into the calm in order for God to show me and to reveal to me where that is. The meek will inherit the earth. That is not weakness. That's a strength to know I can bring this down. And understanding this as well, you're not always going to want to do that. Did you know that? You're not always going to want to bring those chaotic situations down into the calm. That's why it is a strength. That's why it's not just something, it's blessed art. And what I've found is this, that in a lot of these beatitudes are choices that we get to make of what we want to be. These are attitudes that we should take on. So weakness, that does meekness sound like weakness to you? It sounds like a strength that understands this. When I bring that down into calm situations, I'm about to hear something from God. I'm about to hear something from the Lord. So let's tie this all together here if we can. People that are meek are not weak. They have a quiet strength with staying power. They are able to bring extreme and chaotic situations down to calm, fully understanding that there is an answer to their need or situation. And if they put their trust in the Lord and refuse to give in to troubling thoughts, God will get them the answer that they need, and they can inherit the earth. You need to understand today That quiet strength that God puts on the inside of you is not weak. It is, as I said, it is a strength. It is power for you to hear and to you inherit the things inside the earth that are rightfully yours. Is that making sense? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. And in verse 27. I think a lot of times as you're turning, I would look at meekness and overlook it because I looked at it as timid. I looked at it as weak. I looked at it as a lot of things. But as I begin to look into this and realize, you know, this is, and I'm going to get to some examples here in just a little bit of people that you look around, they may not be the loudest person or the most vocal or the most emotional, but having somebody that they know, as Paul said, they know in whom they have believed, and they're persuaded. It's a persuasion to know, I know who I am in the Lord, and if I can bring this down to calm. I can bring this situation down into calm, and I know when I do that, God's going to get me some answers to. Does anybody have a need in here today? Go ahead and raise your hand. You got a need? Do you got something in your life you want different? Well, getting over emotional is not going to help you get to the answer. It's bringing that situation down into calm and then letting God speak to you where the answer is. It says, "Oh, Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." The whole key is there is those that trust in the Lord. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Somebody that is waiting on the Lord is not somebody that's caught up in their emotions. They're not caught up in their feelings. They're not caught up in what is presenting them at that very moment. And I want to stop right there for a second because I want to show some compassion, because I think we are all here from time to time, is when things come at us. As I said earlier, you know the biggest problem that you have is the one that's in front of you. Did you know that? The biggest need that you have is the one that's in front of you right now. So I want you to understand as well that when you're faced with those things and the emotions are running wild, it's hard, but it says right here that he gives power to the powerless or to the weak. He gives strength to the powerless. So I don't want to I'm not making fun. I think you know that. I don't want to make light of situations because sometimes they can be very difficult. But if we wait upon the Lord, I want to stop right there for just a second. If you would allow me to do this, those that wait upon the Lord, that means when you are facing things, it's going to be your natural self is going to want to go crazy. It's going to want to go ballistic. It's going to want to go emotional. It's going to want to talk all the negative. It's going to want to think about all the bad things that could happen. But whenever you say, you know what? I am going to bring this down into calm situations. I'm going to bring this down into God's Word. And that's when the word starts rising up on the inside of you. And it's not just because you're quoting it. It's because there's truth inside of that word. And when we say that, that's when we start feeling the relief that we need from the Lord. So I don't want you to think that I'm making light of the situation. I want you to also to understand that there are times and moments where you're going to have to say, I know how I feel right now. But feelings are going to come and go. I don't know why I'm thinking it's like a chigger bite, you know? It itches like crazy when it's itching, but if you give it 10 minutes, it'll stop. You know that? And it's kind of like emotions, too. If you just give it a minute, Say the word if you want to, but understand this, I'm not going to give in to this emotion, because in 10 minutes, everything's going to change. Everything's going to change. God can bring the supernatural into the natural. Did you know that? Let's look at Matthew chapter 17. Thank you, Lord. The meek will inherit the earth. This is in the New Living Translation, sorry, for those that have a device. On their arrival in Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and asked him, "Does your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Well, yes, he does," Peter replied. Then he went into the house, but before he had a chance to speak, Jesus asked him, "What do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people or the people they have conquered?" "Well, they tax the people they have conquered," Peter replied. "Well, then," Jesus said, "the citizens are free. However, we don't want to offend them, so go down to the lake and throw in a line." Now, just imagine hearing this for the first time. Go down to the lake and go fishing. Then open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you will find a large silver coin. Take it and pay the tax for both of us. The answer that they needed for that situation was in the earth, in the mouth of a fish. So when Rusty wants to go fishing, there could be $1 million in that. That's bringing the supernatural into the natural. Now, if somebody said that to you, I'm just trying to think. I would think that I would want to say, "You're crazy." That's crazy. That's craziness. But when the Lord tells us to do something, what do we do? We need to do it. So if God can put a coin in a fish's mouth, He has the answer to your need. And it's somewhere around you. And when I say the answer is in the earth, I mean it is somewhere around you. We need to possess a quiet strength that brings chaotic into calm so we can hear the instruction from the Lord. Can I say that again? We need to possess a quiet strength that brings chaotic into calm. That's what being meek is. It's not being spineless. It's not being weak-minded. Actually, it's a quiet strength that when you see somebody facing hardships and they don't quit, you're like, there's something on the inside of them that's different. There's a power and a strength on the inside of them that no matter what people say or no matter how they feel, they know that I'm going to stand right here on God's word. I have dug down deep and I have put my foundation on the solid rock, and I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. And you may say, "John, you don't know what I'm going through." I may not, but I want to assure you this. If you will quiet yourself, and I'm talking about as a spirit, not just mind over matter. I'm talking about quieting yourself inside the Word of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit, whether that comes through worship, whether it comes through reading the Word, whether that comes through prayer. If you will quiet yourself and bring those chaotic thoughts down into the calm, God has an answer for your need. And if He tells you to go fishing and the money to pay your tax on October the 15th is in the fish's mouth, what's the worst thing that can happen? It not be there? Catch a fish? But if He tells you to do that, whatever it may be, don't question it, do it. I'm not talking about whims, okay? I'm not trying to get people out doing crazy stuff. Don't think I'm saying that. But when the Lord gives you direction, don't question it. Don't question it. Just do it. Because if He can put a coin in a fish's mouth, He has the answer. And this answer is somewhere around you. I sought permission, because I have a couple stories in this. Well, they're not stories, they're accounts. And I asked this individual, because I didn't want to, obviously, I feel like I'm growing up. At least I'm asking permission now. to do it instead of forgiveness, right? But I texted Cherie because she had a situation that she reached out to me over, and the Lord worked out something awesome. And I asked her if I could share, and she said, not only can you share, she said, mention my name. Mention my name. And I'm going to tell you, the reason I wanted to share this is not just because it fit, but I look at Cherie, she's not the loudest person. She's not the most emotional person. But when I look at her, I see a quiet strength. Amen. I see somebody that's been through a lot, but they haven't quit. Meek. Not weak. Not spineless. Strong. Amen. Strong. Quiet strength. And she reached out to me because she had the need for tires and an oil change. Well, this was on a Sunday afternoon, and I was in the middle of probably watching winter camping. You know, I don't know why I watch that stuff about people going out in the snow and camping. I don't know why I watch that stuff, but I can watch 2-hour episodes of that. It's just amazing to me of them watching them cook. They're not saying a word, and it drives my wife completely crazy. But I can just watch it and think, see all the different stuff that they have, the hot tents and the little small stoves, and they're cooking all this stuff, and just don't ask me why. I'm probably watching something like that. And she tells me this, and I'm like, well, let's pray about it. And the Lord reminded me of something that I had did, and it was giving plasma. I mean, you're from the earth. Something inside of you that somebody else needs. There was an answer there. And I, you know, when I first thought of it, I thought, she's not going to want to do that. That's the craziest thing in the world. Why would, I mean, I know I did it, but I'm not right sometimes. Even my family, when I was doing it, they're like, you're crazy. Why, you know, but I thought, well, you know, I'm just being open with you here today. I'm not trying to be funny at all. But what I am trying to say is this. I donated plasma for a month and paid for a repair bill that I didn't have to take money out of investments, out of my savings, or have to wonder where it was going to come from. It was my fluids. They needed it, and they were willing to give me money for it, and I was happy to oblige them. And so what I'm getting to is we got quiet for a little bit. The Lord sent an answer, and I said, you know what, God, if that's the answer you're giving me, I have to be willing to share it. She can say no. But you know what? I mean, she took the initiative. I'm talking about the next day. She done went down there and received the instruction from the Lord. Wasn't for me. I'm just telling what, that's the only thing that came to my mind. But here's the thing. That went on for a few weeks. And then she texted me and she said, I got 4 new tires and an oil change. Amen. Now, who would have thought the answer was lying at giving plasma? But when the Lord gives us instruction, what should we do? Do it. The answer was somewhere around us. But you have to get quiet long enough to hear and then respond, because believing's not just knowing, it's believing and doing. And I just thought that was so fitting. As I was praying about this, I was like, that's almost as odd. I mean, that's not as odd, obviously. But what's the difference between that and going fishing and hoping the money's in a fish's mouth? Actually, giving plasma seems a lot more sane to me. But, you know, that's what the Lord said, and I'm not going to call him crazy at all, in no sense of the matter. But I thought that was so, you know, the answer was somewhere around her, something she could do. It was around, and it was available to her. And every time I see her when she pulls up to do her work here in the radio station, I look at those tires, Cherie. I think, that's a miracle. That's bringing the supernatural into the natural. That's a meek, a quiet, gentle, strong spirit that got quiet enough until they heard from the Lord and then responded. And then God met their need. she inherited the earth. Those rubber tires that came from the earth, the oil that came from the earth, the oil filter that was made from metals in the earth, and all done by a man that God made. The answer was in the earth. And in myself, it's been a few years back, I dealt with plantar fasciitis. And if anybody's ever dealt with that, you know what I'm talking about. You can't hardly even stand on your feet. It hurts so bad. And you would think propping your feet up would help, but it doesn't. It makes it worse. So you don't know what to do. Stand, you hurt. You sit, you hurt. And so at that time, I did not know anything about the faith message. We were not here. We were somewhere else. But I know that I had been ministering to people that God can do anything. And Mandy said, well, you need to go to the doctor and you need to do this and do all that. And I told her, I said, I'm not going to no doctor. That was just kind of, that's me. I'm not going to no doctor. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor, but I wasn't going. I said, if I tell them people to believe in God, I'm going to believe in God. I'm not going to tell them to do something and I do something completely different. Now, I'm not telling you not to go to the doctor, but I was not going to the doctor because I knew that there had to be an answer somewhere. And you know where that answer was at? It started where, and like I said, my ankles would swell up to, it was gross, okay? I don't want to get into details, but it was very uncomfortable. But my kids wanted to go to Silver Dollar City. And I was like, I don't care if I'm hurting or not, I'm taking them. And about halfway through, you know, here it starts again. And, you know, you can't just stop on the side where everybody's walking and prop your feet up. You know, you just, so you know where I went? This is just John Birch talking here, okay? This is just John Birch stories. But I believe good, amen. Going for good. They were all riding. I went over to the Old Country Church. For one thing, it's got the best air conditioning in the park. It's got wonderful air conditioning. And there was nobody in there, and I propped my feet up on them log pews. And about that time, the lady that plays the piano that does the hymnal, she came in. And she, you know, we just started talking about, you know, why do you got your feet propped up like that? You know, that kind of stuff. And I told her, and she said, you know, that's funny. She said, I've dealt with the same thing here recently. And she said, I went to the doctor, because I was thinking everybody around me was telling me, you're going to need to have a surgery done. You're going to need to have these tendons cut. You're going to need to do this. You're going to need to do that. And I really wasn't wanting to do it. And she said, whatever you do, do not let them cut on your feet. It did nothing for me. Well, on the inside, I was like, thank God for an answer. You know, I wasn't wanting to do that anyways. But I went home, and I was still kind of dealing with it. And I want to shorten this up. I ran into a friend that I used to work with, and lo and behold, what he went into was physical therapy. And he told me, he said, John, don't let them put a shot in your heels. Don't let them cut tendons. He said, all you need, get this, all you need is Aspa cream and compression socks. And I did what he said, and you want to know what? I hadn't dealt with that in 10 years. The answer was around me somewhere. I just had to get still, even though I didn't know any better. I just knew what I felt inside of my heart. I knew that I was just supposed to wait on the Lord. That's all I knew. And the answer lied in Aspa cream and compression socks. Both of those things came from the earth. I checked. They came from the earth. There is an answer somewhere around you, and God has that answer, but you have to quiet yourself to hear. And it's not weakness to quiet yourself. It is not spinelessness to quiet yourself. Actually, it is a spiritual strength that when you hear, that you can hear from the Lord, and tires can get on your vehicle. Oil can get changed. Plantar fasciitis can go away. Everything doesn't have to be what we call these great miracles per se. If God gets the answer to you, it's just miraculous as if somebody laid hands on you and anointed you with oil. The answer is around you. Bob, you taught on common oil, right? Didn't you teach on that common oil? Y'all remember that? About the lady that had in 2 Kings, that she had the pot of oil and it just kept. There was the answer was in her house. And it just kept supplying until it met the need. Bob Lodick on the Seed Time podcast, I don't know if y'all even know who he is, and he, obviously a Christian podcast called Seed Time, said this, that the average American household has $7,000 worth of stuff that they aren't using anymore that they could sell, that they're not even using anymore, and could sell it and make money. It's like that lady, the miracle that you need could just be right inside your house in that closet with stuff that you don't use anymore, that you don't need. And the miracle that you need to buy the hot water heater, whoever that's for, could be right inside your house. The answer to fixing your air conditioning could be on stealing stuff that's right inside your house. But if we are freaking out and all in our emotions, can we hear from the Lord, even if He was trying to show us things? The answer's around you somewhere. Do you believe that? That the answer's around you somewhere. And if it gets to you, it's just as miraculous, as I said, as if somebody laid hands and anointed you with oil. The need got to you. Mark 9:23, Jesus said this, anything is possible to him that believes. Him that believes, you have to believe. And I've got some really bad news for people today. The devil's not sovereign. That's going to be some bad news for people. And I'm going to tell you why it is, that the only thing that sometimes is keeping us from receiving doesn't have anything to do with the devil. It has something to do with our thinking and what's going on in our mind and what we're allowing to go on in our mind. And we have to quiet ourselves so we can hear from the Lord. So whenever I get quiet and I exercise that quiet strength that the Lord gives me, I'm about to get some answers. And it amazes me the things that people, I looked inside my shop the other day, and I remember just trying to remember everything that was in there. And I thought, there's things in here that somebody could make a good living with. All kinds of tools I don't even use. I don't even know how I got them. All I'm lacking is the mindset to know how to use them. But the Lord can bring that. But there is one, I looked inside my shop, and there was a lawnmower, a weed eater, a blower, gas cans, weed eater line. That every one of those things came from the earth that God has used in my life. Larry, to buy tires for my car and my truck. And to do all kinds of things. And it's right there all around you. But we have to get quiet long enough that we can hear what God is saying to us. And the answer is all around us. So, I know that this has been probably unorthodox today. But I really do honestly in my heart feel like the Lord was dealing with me on this subject and putting it this way. Because there's obviously some people here that needed to hear that. Is to quiet yourself, because, you know, if there's 200 people in here, there could be a plethora of needs or desires, right? There could be all kinds of things that people are needing. And to hear today that the answer's somewhere around you, that we just got to bring those troubling thoughts, those emotional thoughts down into the calm. And then the Lord can start revealing us answers to where they are. Amen. Would you stand with me today? When I was praying this morning, my heart's desire was to encourage people today, to give you what you need. And like I said, I can't just go through every scenario and every situation, but I do know this, that the answer's there. And I hope today that what you're going to do when you go home is get quiet. Sometimes the emotions are coming. and start just looking around and seeing, what can I do? Where's this at? Where could this come from? Where could the answer be? And then respond to that. Amen. Father, thank you, God, that meekness doesn't mean I'm weak, but there's a quiet strength on the inside of me. And that could even be in desires, Father, things that we have desires, not just necessarily needs, but they can even be in desires. And God, you can show us creative things. I believe it's in Proverbs, talks about witty inventions and things, God, that you can show us to do. God, that not just helps us, but God's going to bring glory to you for us to be able to help other people and to further your kingdom, Lord, not just for ourselves, but to help others. And God, that sometimes the answers may not just be for us, but it may be to help someone else and to give them an idea and to help them. But most of all, I pray, God, there'd be staying power. I pray, Lord, that we would just have a quiet strength about us, that when things come our way, we don't just get all beside ourselves. We don't let the emotions rule. We don't let them take over. But we bring it down into the quietness of worship and your word. And God, when we begin to get our focus on you, God, we're about to start inheriting the earth. We're about to start getting answers that are around us. And Father, I just thank you today for this strength that it's putting on the inside of people here today. And God, them looking forward to the answers, God, that you're giving them. And we're going to thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.